Leslie Oliver, thank you for joining me.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's a pleasure to be with you, Carmel.
So, did you grow up knowing of your roots?
Well, the fact is that my mother had been trying to trace back my father's family. And she had gotten back to a person named Moses Oliver, and she had a question mark beside the name Adeline. She never resolved that. And our family, since our family came out of slavery in the U.S., there was always that trying to reach across the border and find it. And it was by happenstance that about 3 years ago, I was in touch with somebody who was an archivist in Maryland. And when she heard my name, she says, "You won't believe I'm working on a story about someone named Oliver." And that was how I finally got the documented backstory on how they came to Nova Scotia.
So what did you find out?
What I found out was that Moses Oliver had been enslaved on a plantation on a farm in Maryland, and his wife, Adeline, also. And when the British had come up the Potomac River in 1814, I guess it was, they had made an offer that people who were enslaved could come with the British troops, and they would take them to British territory. Of course, this was all part of trying to disrupt the economy, part of the war effort. But Moses managed to get to Nova Scotia. And the documentation that I found was the documentation from several years later when the slave owners were able to claim compensation for the for the merchandise, the property that they had lost, i.e., the slaves who had gone with the come to British territory. In this particular case, they came to Halifax.
And Adeline made it as well?
Adeline made it, yes. As a matter of fact, the documentation that I have all concerns Adeline, and then but it refers to Adeline as the wife of Moses, and that Moses had taken her off to Nova Scotia, or to Canada. Or to, just a minute now, I better be careful. At the time, they probably weren't referring to it as Nova Scotia or Canada. But at any rate.
How did you feel? Halifax. How did you feel finding that last page in the book?
It was, I sort of regretted the fact that my mother and father had not found it because they were so close. They had the name of Adeline. But also, part of the documentation showed the amount of money that was being claimed for each of these people that were gone. And so for Adeline, who was listed as being 19 years old, there was a figure of $300 beside her name. And the one-year-old baby, there was a figure of $50. And that was really quite unsettling, you know, to think that here are these people. And then of course, having looked at that and seen the efforts that they had made to get someplace where they had freedom, where they were able to pursue their own interests, it then made me think back over the whole line from them to today, and see how things happen.
And how have things happened? Where are things at today? How do you feel in Halifax?
Well, you know, the first 100 years was probably quite difficult. You know, up until the time my father was born, he was born in 1910, and at that time, you know, the British class system still existed in Canada, and so there was a general belief that people were in the place that they belonged in society, and there wasn't a lot of movement. And in particular, there was almost no movement for people of African descent because it was perceived that there was a place for them. So, even during the First World War, recruitment into the Canadian Army excluded blacks, by and large. And, so it was difficult. But the thing was that they managed to buy some property, and I have the deeds from when they, or the documents from when they borrowed money to buy land in 1827. And incidentally, some of that land is still in the family.
That was Moses and Adeline?
Yes, it was Moses. Yeah, Moses managed to buy some property.
That's remarkable, and, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And, you know, and the purchase of property was important because that supported them, their children, their grandchildren. And one of their grandsons moved from Halifax, and that would be my great-grandfather, moved from Halifax. He moved off of the farm because by then, right, the property that Moses and Adeline had bought divided up between their children and then being divided up between their grandchildren,
mm-hmm.
it, you know, becomes not quite enough to support a family. But William moved. He was a herdsman. He knew how to handle animals. And he moved to Wolfville, Nova Scotia, to work at Acadia University. The university had just recently been founded. And they were keeping the students in residence, and they had farms. And so they needed someone to work the farm. And so William came down to do that. And one of his grandsons, my father, you know, eventually went to the university. And I think that was the beginning of another chapter of the... So first was getting the land back in 1827, but then getting educated in... you know, when my father went in 1938, that then put us on yet another part of the trajectory to sort of being able to cope with the circumstances that existed. You know, 200 years ago, if you had land, you could live. Today, you need more than land in order to live. No, you need...
And did you follow your father to Wolfville?
Well, my father, yeah, that's right. My father was born in Wolfville and educated here, but then he moved to Halifax, and so I was born in Halifax. And eventually I came back to Wolfville and to the university. And you know, it's probably not a coincidence that I came back to that same university, because one of the things that I suspect that even modern refugees, modern immigrants, will tell you, it's difficult to get a feeling of really belonging and really being accepted. And having been part of that community, my father having been born here, my grandfather having been born here, my father having attended the university, he had lots of friends there, and I felt really comfortable, didn't feel at all uncomfortable there. And so that was probably... you know, that was probably important in my progression. You know, one of my daughters went to Acadia, but the others went to other universities, and they were quite comfortable there. But
it's not even an issue for them.
That whole branching out that happens, I think, is important.
Yeah, it's not even an issue for them in the sense of having the same need for a sense of belonging.
Yes, that's a fact.
It's automatic for them.
Yes.
So how many generations did it take?
Sorry?
How many generations did it take?
Well, let's see. From Moses
mm-hmm.
to me is, what, 6 generations? 2 Williams, a Clifford, a William, and then me. Yeah, so 6 generations.
And tell me about that land. I guess that's very special to you all.
Yeah, there are still, one of my brothers still lives on that land. Well, as far as we can tell on that land, it's really tricky trying to figure out exactly which boundaries, but in that community there were several people who were in the same situation as Moses and Adeline, in that they were former slaves and were settled in that area. So, you know, which of the families had which piece of property 200 years ago is still a little difficult to track down.
Where is that? Is that in the Halifax area?
It's in the Halifax area, yes. It's now part of the Halifax municipality. So the community is called Lucasville. The Lucas family was one of the families. There were really 3 families, the Olivers, the Lucases, and the Parsonses. But the documents from Maryland sort of talk about the names of other slaves, that enslaved people who came here. And I actually did find a document in Maryland that referred to Adeline's mother. Didn't have a family name, which would not have been unusual in the days of slavery, but yeah, I had a name for her mother, but I'm still trying to work on that documentation.
What did you do in your life in Nova Scotia? What was your work?
I was trained as a computer scientist, so I was a professor at Acadia, but I had also taught at the University of Florida in Gainesville, Florida, and so I went on, did my graduate work at McGill.
And when you see life in Florida as you observed it in your time there and life in Canada, are you grateful that Moses and Adeline made that trip?
I am indeed. The way things have played out in the United States, the whole question of race seems to be quite different from what it is in Canada. It's still a barrier, and it's still an issue for living, but it is possible to get beyond it in Canada. And in the U.S., it seems to be very difficult to get beyond it. When I say get beyond it, typically someone would be referred to not as an accountant, but as an African-American accountant, right? Whereas in Canada, you could, recognize someone as, the accountant in the gray suit or the accountant in the tall one, right? Whereas in the U.S., the first designator would be, the African-American one. So, and the thing was that in the United States, it was, and perhaps one of the reasons why on a broader basis, African-Americans have been able to move ahead as they have, is that they had a system of colleges and universities established in the U.S. so that when the colleges and universities in the U.S. were democratized and opened up, there were people who had background in the formerly black colleges and universities, whereas in Canada there were no special universities, and so it took a lot longer for university-educated people to sort of become part of the community.
Well, Leslie Oliver, now you're off for a vacation in Prince Edward Island.
I am. Looking forward to that.
Is this an annual event?
Well, living in Nova Scotia, we get to the island as frequently as we can, yes.
Living in Nova Scotia, many other Canadians would wonder why you leave.
Yes, and September is one of my favorite months here.
It's a very beautiful part of the country.
Yes.
Well, I wish you all the best on the vacation, and thank you so much for telling me your story.
Oh, you're very welcome.